Okay, we shall continue from where we stopped. So, Heart Sutta, chapter, lesson 34. Oh, we have finished 1.1, we are at 1.2, yeah. Okay. Question 1. Okay.
Question 1. What is heedfulness or appamada? Brother Teo replied, the importance of heedfulness is clearly expounded by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23. The Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful never die, whereas heedlessness is the path to the death, and the heedless are as if dead. So do not be heedless, and do strive on with heedfulness always. Appamada is the silent mind in heedfulness, attentiveness, alertness, non-laxity, diligence, and vigilance to develop the meditation to liberate the mind. Appamada or heedfulness is the cornerstone of all skillful mental states, and it is of such importance that the Buddha stressed it in his parting words or last exhortation. Transient are all conditioned things and phenomena. Strive on with heedfulness. Appamadena Sampadeta. 1.3. Below is the Appamada Sutta as translated by Tanisaro Bhikkhu. Appamada Sutta. At Savatthi, as he was sitting to one side, King Pasenadi of Kosala said to the Blessed One, is there, Lord, any one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits secure, benefits in this life and benefits in lives to come? There is one quality, great king, that keeps both kinds of benefits secure, benefits in this life and benefits in lives to come. But what, Lord, is that one quality? It is heedfulness, great king. Just as the footprints of all living beings with legs can be encompassed by the footprint of the elephant, and the elephant's footprint is declared to be supreme among them in terms of its great size. In the same way, heedfulness is the one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits secure, benefits in this life and benefits in lives to come. That is what the Blessed One said. Having said that, the one well gone, the teacher said further, for one who desires long life, health, beauty, heaven, and noble birth, lavish delights, one after another, the wise praise heedfulness in performing deeds of merit. When heedful and wise, you achieve both kinds of benefit, benefits in this life and benefits in lives to come. By breaking through to your benefit, you are called enlightened, wise. To be mindful or in sati is to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness or attentiveness without thought. To be heedful is to be aware or mindful before the knowing, to understand the truth or to see things as they are. When the mind is silent, mindful and attentive without thought, then it is in sati. The silent mind with inner awareness to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, thus developing the wisdom of Panya, is heedfulness. The opposite of heedfulness is heedlessness, and when one is heedless, one is hardly aware, and only merely conscious of life. Because one is too busy and heedlessly thinking, planning, and worrying about life, so much so, one totally misses out on life. One never really lives life, because one is so preoccupied with one's thinking or thought processes. Hence the heedlessness via constantly lost in thought most of the time and throughout the day. Heedful living allows us to be ever mindful of all our mental intentions behind all our action, speech and thought processes. This will enable us to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right speech, right action and right thought, following the advice of the Buddha to apply the appropriate four right efforts to avoid all evil, do good and purify our mind. Heedfulness will prevent us from being heedless throughout the day, so that the five hindrances of mind can be overcome and finally eradicated. Heedfulness will also enable us to trace the origination factors of the five hindrances of mind and three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. when they arise due to one's reaction of mind to sense experiences. By understanding how they arise via wisdom, we will be able to retrospectively reverse it. With heedfulness, we will be able to put the teachings to test and witness the Four Noble Truths and the Law of Dependent Origination, or 12 Links, occurring within our own form and mind with every moment of mental activity. Heedfulness will also enable us to see things as they are via our sati and samadhi, leading to the wisdom of panya. When one is heedful and mindful with inner awareness most of the time, one can see everything very clearly because the silent mind is not distracted by anything and it is not preoccupied with any heedless thinking. So it can see things as they are. It can be aware of thoughts, mental intentions, emotions, fear, etc. It can also be aware of all movements like the moving cars, all our physical actions and movements, etc. When mindfulness stabilizes, it will develop into a continuous flow. Then your seeing or awareness will be so different because it can be aware of all of life's physical, mental, and nature's flow. The mind is just silent and aware, one with all phenomena, without thought, and always heedful. When one's mind is no longer preoccupied with all the heedless thinking, then there is great clarity and one can see very clearly. Just like the saying goes, truth is everywhere, why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That is, when one is heedful, there is no thought, only the senses are aware. So there is a lot of clarity. Everything is so clear. Without thoughts, there are no evil roots. There is no fear, no selfishness, and emotional negativity, etc. So develop the silent mind with inner awareness to be heedful always. For more details on heedfulness, please refer to the recorded talk.
Okay, I explain a bit. The emphasis on heedfulness is very important. So based on the Appamada Sutta, the Buddha answered the king Pasenandi of Kosala. The king was interested in knowing, is there any particular quality of mind that can keep both kinds of benefits secure, means benefit in this life and benefit in the life to come. So the Buddha answered King Pasenandi. He said, yes, heedfulness, this one quality. When you have heedfulness, he said, for ones who desire long life, good health, beauty, heavens, and noble birth, lavish delight one after another, the wise praise heedfulness in performing deeds of merits. So now you understand why under the Vamika Sutta, the five monks who didn't make it, how come they constantly take good birth above the heaven until the next sasana, only they take birth as human being, then becoming arahant. So the reason being, they are heedful and they are already training themselves with the wisdom. That's why they are able to have all this. And this is clearly stated in the Appamada Sutta as answer to King Pasenandi. Then the Buddha said, when heedful and wise, you achieve both kinds of benefit. Benefit in this life and benefits in the life to come. So it also stems from Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. That's why you will always have the good life. And you are destined for enlightenment. Then the Buddha also mentioned, by breaking through to your benefits, you are called enlightened and wise. So to be heedful, you need to be mindful. So all these are described, how to develop sati, mindfulness, and why through mindfulness you can become heedful, and what are the mind states like, and how you can develop wisdom to free your mind. So all these are very clearly describe. And also towards the later part, the last paragraph. The last paragraph is very important. It talks about heedful living. He said, at that time, is I explain. Heedful living allow us to be ever mindful of our mental intention behind all our actions, speech, and thought process. So that is the most important criteria. You cannot be ever mindful. You cannot be mindful of all your mental intention. Because every action you arise, the evil roots, if they are there, it will become wrong action. Every thought you arise is the same. Then it will condition the appropriate type of speech. So when you know what constitutes evil and you are heedful and mindful, you can apply the four right effort to abandon them. That's why heedful living is different. Heedful living can bring about sense restraint. Then the three way of good conduct. Then it will eradicate the five mental hindrance. Then you will understand the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada, how your mind function. And also you can trace the origination factor to free your mind, to develop the wisdom. So all these are there. Then I also mentioned about heedfulness will also enable us to see things as they are via our sati and samadhi, leading to wisdom. When one is heedful and mindful with inner awareness most of the time, then one can see everything very clearly, because the silent mind is not distracted by anything and is not preoccupied with any heedless thinking. So it can see things as they are. It can be aware of thought, mental intention, emotion, fear, etc. It can also be aware of all movement, like the moving car, or our physical action and movement, etc. When mindfulness stabilizes, it will develop into a continuous flow of awareness. That's why you can be aware of all the physical flow within your physical body, all movement, all action, and all your mental flow of all your mental activity, mental states, mental emotion, everything. Then when you look at nature, there is this nature's flow, like the moving car, the moving object, human being, the plants, the tree, the sway, the movement, the wind, the nature, everything within nature, even this sound of construction knocking. These are nature's flow. You can perceive them. And they are all impermanent, dependent, originating, condition arising. That's why you will see truth everywhere. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. You can hear the knocking sound. So these are all hearing consciousness, dependent originating condition arising. Where you are nearby, we are in a retreat, meditation hall, with all the quietness, tranquility. Then we can hear, we can perceive. Because only I speak, you all are quiet. But when everybody speaks, become too noisy. Sometimes you can feel them in the kitchen. A few people start talking, it's already noisy. So it's the understanding. If you are not quiet, not silent, you are not sensitive, you cannot be aware. Here you are lost in thought. You are preoccupied with your speech, your whatever mental activity, mental thinking. And when you communicate with people, when you discuss something or talk something, you are too eager to present what you want to tell people. And sometimes people ask you back questions or confront you with certain very hard-hitting questions. Then If you are not aware, you cannot see how you straight away react, and you want to be right, and you want to counter the argument, and you want to challenge it. Then sometimes it hit you, and you develop dislike, aversion. Then when you are heedless, you don't even know you are creating a lot of unnecessary vibration or noise and all those things. That's why awareness, heedfulness is very important. When we are heedful, we know what to do. And when you know how to silence, we can be sensitive. So this part is very important. Then I wrote here, that is when one is heedful, there is no thought. Only the senses are aware. This one you have to bear in mind. When you are heedful, there is no thought. Your awareness is without a center. That's why only your senses is aware. It's just like tujuputola. You stay at your awareness. Then your awareness is the common denominator. Wherever the sense or consciousness want to arrive, it need to create the consciousness or the thought through the awareness. That's the reason why when you are heedful, you can be mindful, you can be aware of what is going on. Then after that, I continue. When one is heedful, there is no thought. Only the senses are aware. So there is a lot of clarity. Everything is so clear. Without thought, there are no evil root. There is no fear, no selfishness, and emotional negativity, etc. So develop the silent mind with inner awareness to be heedful always. Okay, this is very important. Okay, so we continue. The question.
Brother Teo, I wish to clarify on the terms. Is there any difference between heedfulness, mindfulness, and awareness?
Give me a minute. It's starting to get chill. I need to wear the what you call this jacket? Cardigan. Yeah, thank you for your very good question, Denny. I think because first time you're attending my retreat, first time you hear me speak, that's why you have this question. Those who have followed me, they don't have this question. You only need to understand what I always explain. Dhammapada verse 23, can you remember? That's why you cannot understand. That's why you're supposed to be attentively read the Dhammapada verse, then you will understand. Verse 23 defines what heedfulness is. The Buddha said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one. Means you hold on to this practice. Constantly meditative, ever mindful. Then, that person will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. Means that person is destined for enlightenment. And verse 21 says, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So same meaning. Okay? So between verse 23 is the definition of heedfulness. Heedfulness. So heedfulness got two parts. Heedfulness equals to ever mindful. Plus, constantly meditative. That's why the Buddha said, if you do these two, you are guaranteed enlightenment in the here and now. You will realize the supreme enlightenment of Nibbana. So, ever mindful means stability of mindfulness. Ever mindful. So, mindfulness means awareness. When you are mindful, means you are aware. Later on, is ever mindful means fully aware. But the word ever is more accurate. Fully aware means within the moment. Ever mindful means continuous. Where whatever you are doing throughout the day, you are ever mindful. If fully aware means at that moment without thought, you are fully aware. Okay? Wait, I have to pull my inner Uniqlo to straighten it. Okay, so this one you can understand. To be mindful is to be aware. So what is mindfulness? Mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. You can follow. Mindfulness equals awareness before the knowing. How do you know? Like this whiteboard, my voice, or the Buddha Rupa, how do you know? The knowing comes from where? Perception. Understand? You have to perceive it. So mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. Before you perceive, before the word come up, before the concept come up, there is awareness. Means like the baby, just aware, the pure perception. Before the word come out, before the concept come out, like the moving car, your awareness and the moving car move as one. That is awareness of that nature's phenomena. You understand? Now that is awareness. But the moment you perceive that car and describe the car or the sound, you are already lost in thought. The aggregate of mind come out already. Yes.
I have a relevant experience from comparing last year's meditation experience and this year's meditation experience. Last year, I remember specifically when I heard the animal sound, it was like cat and dog fighting.
Yes.
When the meow happened, right?
Yeah.
Straight away, my mind say cat.
Yes.
And a picture
automatic
of a orange color cat.
The image come out.
But this year, when I meditate, right? When different. I hear the bird.
The phenomena
like
first.
This morning, right? It's music, you know.
Yeah.
Music is
the vibration. Then when the memory come in only, that word come out, the image come out. Very good. That's what pure awareness is. When you are aware, no words on. It's the real thing. What she described, she's using word already, understand? But she just heard that thing. That thing which is, You will understand what she's trying to tell you. It's not the animal straight away. It's like I said, do you see this microphone? You see the image of microphone. But if you really look at this, microphone got no word, no image, no concept. It's this whole thing. You understand? Even the color, you will not label it. You understand? It's the whole thing. It means seeing things as they are. Like I look at you, Kehuna. I don't go and look at all your whatever image of what Kehuna is. I have seen you before. If I do that, I will use memory. Understand? Yeah. But that general awareness before I perceive you is the awareness. But I have to communicate with you. Understand? That's why I have to perceive you. I have to live life. I have to use thought. No problem. As long as you are aware, then you use thought. Because when you have the understanding, you can use thought. Thought become wholesome, right thought. So when you are under training, when you are developing the wisdom, you have to maintain awareness first. Then the awareness will tell you the story. The awareness will let you understand. You don't go and use the so-called mindfulness to look for the phenomena and look for the Dhamma knowledge, the characteristic of nature. Then that one is thought. That one is not mindfulness. When it's mindfulness, it's just aware. The awareness is with the phenomena. Then through the awareness, the phenomena will tell you the story. The awareness will understand the characteristic. It's opposite. You understand? What normal traditional Buddhist meditator who use thought basis, they go and use this word wrongly. Mindfulness. Mindfulness got two words, isn't it? Mind and fullness. The mind is full. Full of what? If full of thought, is definitely not mindfulness, isn't it? We have mindfulness and awareness before the knowing, no thought. Like my daughter said, mindfulness, fully aware. Yes, we are full of awareness. But that is mindfulness. So if it's mindfulness without thought, then how can you go and note? You understand not? Doing all the noting and all those things. Then if you, even if you don't know, what they are doing is, they use this word wrongly. Then they go to the phenomena that thought, try to look for the phenomena, like the rising and falling. They look for it, understand not? Look for it. Like anapanasati, they look for the anapanasati, you know. So the thought want to be peaceful. The thought want to calm, to become. The thought want to develop vipassana. The thought want to be enlightened. The thought want to see impermanent, suffering state, non-self. Then what happened? In the meditation, when they experience something which is the thought, then they, oh, this is impermanent. The rising, falling. It rise, it fall. Impermanent. You go and link it with Dhamma knowledge, there is thought telling you. And all these are knowledge. Nothing to do with mindfulness. And this can never give insight or wisdom. You understand? Where you go and look for it. You have to use your mindfulness or awareness silent with the phenomena. Then through that silence, it will awaken. It will insight in it. It will understand that phenomena is like that. Well, that phenomena will change, will move. Well, this is dependent originating, supported by condition. When condition change, it change. That's why your mind state is like that. It keep on changing, keep on transforming, moving. So this is a very important aspect to understand. So luckily, Danny asked. Otherwise, I think a lot of new people, they will not understand the difference. So now, mindful and aware is the same. You understand? To have clearer understanding is, mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. Oh, sorry, you got ING here. Yeah? ING. Means before the perception, before the aggregate of perception or sanya come in. Now you understand. Yeah? So, heedfulness means when the awareness or the mindfulness stabilize, ever mindful. First part. That's why in all meditation, the first part is to train your mind to be aware, mindful first. Then stabilize it to make it ever mindful. Understand? Then when you have the stability of mindfulness, then only you can cultivate constantly meditative. So this is cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Because according to the Buddha, the path that leads to the end of all suffering is the Noble Eightfold Path, according to the Fourth Noble Truth. So this is cultivating Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Yes. Yeah.
Brother Teo, is that the
What is it? Push it up, push it up. All the way, huh? No, no, got. Just speak. Eh?
Hello?
Is that the investigative part of the mindfulness, the constant meditative?
No. Investigation comes from contemplation. You need something to investigate on, isn't it? Correct or not? So what are you supposed to investigate? The Dhamma that the Buddha teach. Take for example, Dhammapada verse 1. What is Dhammapada verse 1?
Sorry, Brother Teo. Actually, I'm how do you say it? I'm actually a new Buddhist.
Oh, okay. So you have quite a bit to read up. Don't worry. Yeah?
Yeah.
So now you remember, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 is a twin verse. Okay? I have to slow down, otherwise you cannot catch up. Twin verse. The first two of the 423 Dhammapada verse. And this is the most important. The Buddha started off by explaining these two words. Because human beings' problem is they don't know how to choose. So the Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. Both verses also have this beginning. The first verse is, if mind is the forerunner of all things, and when mind arises, everything arises, then what must you do? You must take care of mind. True or not? If you don't take care of mind, then Dhammapada first one, verse 1 will take this call. He said, if you don't take care of mind, you will be heedless. Then you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, unwholesome mind, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how you suffer. Then he said, suffering will follow you, like the wheel of the block cart that follow the hoof. Understand? That's why the suffering is unending. Understand? The hoof is the thing that the wheel keep on following. Yeah. So, the second verse is, if you don't want to have suffering, like first verse 1, then you better be heedful, the Buddha said. So, if you know mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So, what must I do? I must train my mind to be heedful, so that I can act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then the Buddha said, happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. These are the twin verses. So your life, you choose. You want to be happy? You better train your mind to be heedful and act, speak, and think without the evil root, so that your thoughts are wholesome. If you want to let suffering continue, then continue to be heedless. No need to do anything. Continue to do the wrong thing. then like the cow or the horse to pull the cart. Continue to go to bear. You know what is to go to bear. So it's very clear, isn't it? So when you want to investigate, the meaning is different. Investigate means the Buddha say, verse 1 and 2. So how do you investigate? You need to be mindful of what you do there. If you cannot even be mindful of your action, speech, and thought, then how do you investigate and check? True or not? Then if you don't know what constitutes evil, the evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, then how to check? Because you don't even know that they have a reason in you. That's why you need to be mindful and heedful. Yeah, my daughter got something to add.
Got example about...
I think the battery.
Hello, okay.
Oh, you tighten the bottom a bit. Tighten.
Okay.
I think the battery. Change the battery. Use my mic.
When I'm mindful, then I can actually remember the words I say in hindsight. Even when I've got angry already, say already, people get hurt already. I can actually remember every word I said. Then I can actually, why did I say that? So many things to say, I say that. Then I can really ask myself, why those words? What made me say that? Was it the person? Was it the situation? Was it the bad day? And then I can start to contemplate and investigate. So the mindfulness is like, I went through that whole situation. It's like I was aware as I was getting angry. I couldn't stop myself. Everything happened already, but I was there. I was feeling my breath, my saying. I really can see the everything happening inside. Wow, this, then I really feel the suffering.
Yeah, you continue. Finish it.
I think, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
Okay,
yeah.
So that part she shared also is useful. But when you are mindful, when you already have the understanding, the very special thing that will happen to you is, this one, I think I only share on a very few occasion. And that time, I think most of you are not able to catch it. At that time, I think most of you are not ready. Because when you are mindful, the condition come about, because my daughter share her part, she can recollect everything that she was trying to, or what she expressed out or said. It's true recollection. Then after that only, she recollect, why did I say this, why I, that? Because through hindsight, understand not? She did that thing, then she improved herself. That is the beginning. But later on, what will happen is, I still remember in the early day, when I first come out to share, it was 2004. That time I was already ready and everything already normal. Okay. So what happened was, I started to come out and share. Then when I share, you know, ahead of time, all these people cannot understand what I say. So a lot of questions. Then question, and I try to explain. It's like standard six law. You teach them form four, form five. Then they keep on asking questions as a standard six student. So I keep on, I thought what they need is Dhamma. So I don't know. So I keep on explaining. How come they cannot understand? I thought they are like me. Need somebody to just give me the truth, I will understand. I thought they need the Dhamma. But they are totally different now. So what happened was, after the talk come back, I reflected now, I contemplate. How can I let these people understand? Then I realized the basic Dhamma understanding also not there. The Four Noble Truths also not there. The Three Turning also, they got a lot of Dhamma knowledge. They don't have the understanding. Even basic also don't have. Like First Noble Truth, they only know life is suffering. What is the First Noble Truth also don't know? The Eight Conditions also seldom talk. Because the monk never explained. And most books didn't elaborate beyond. Like we use modern term that I share with you. Never, seldom, hardly. So what happened was, I have to reverse everything. Then after I did that, when I come back, because I never shared before for about 15 years. I come back, then I observe now. I can see my head, after I did the sharing and what happened, where I was aware. Then I realized this sankhara still moving inside there. Moving. Because it has this compassion to explain this thing. That's why I have the inquiry. How can I make them understand? Then I realized that sankhara came out. Then I saw. Then actually, based on my understanding, I don't even have to bother about that. Understand? Nothing to do with me. I only share. But cannot. But they are like that. I agree to come out, no? I have to fix it, no? You understand? That's why I use my contemplative understanding again. I come back, and my contemplation has nothing to do with the Dhamma, no? My contemplation, how can I let these people understand? We at that time just knew, not Kalyanamitaya. How can I allow these people to understand? Then the inquiry starts. Then I start to have the understanding through my wisdom. All this is because they lack the basic. That's why I told you all before, I have to reverse the teaching. I have to reverse the sharing to allow this to carry through. Then they all thought I keep on repeating. But they don't understand. Well, my nature, no, it has not gone in. Even last time, Yun Chan don't understand. He said, brother, why you keep on repeating the Four Noble Truths? This kindergarten one. When they go kindergarten, they learn. I look at her, I also don't know how to answer her because I scared I hurt her. Then he keep on asking me, oh, brother, since you are so good, why don't you join us for the retreat? Why not you come for retreat? I also don't know how to answer her. Then I told her, I said, never mind. Huh? Let things be, you go. I didn't even tell her that no point for me to go. I can't go anymore unless there is condition. So all this were there. But for me, I understand and I accept them for what they are. That's why there was no contradiction, no issue. I never end up arguing. I never end up trying to be right. I leave it to them. Just like the freedom I give to my children. Exactly the same. So because of that, huh? Okay. Oh, I didn't know. I thought
very special.
She very shy on me.
Okay, I want to report my just now experience. When I relax and then do it settle down and then you only can hear the knocking sound. It's inside here. Mm. At first it's here. Mm. And then as you relax, it goes to the center.
Very good.
It's empty. It's just a void.
Mm.
And then there is life force. Life force.
Mm. The life force.
Appearing, life force behind, the slide. And then you can hear, it's not from the ear, it's at the center.
At the heart area.
Center.
And the awareness is hearing.
You can see the appearing, disappearing of the knocking sound.
The phenomena.
Disappearing. No interference of the mind.
Mm.
And then it's sudden quiet. When it's no knocking, it's quiet.
Mm.
And then knock again, you can hear.
Sadhu. Mm.
And then I relax some more. It's more quiet, calm, peaceful. But you didn't knock out.
Yeah.
Whatever happened outside, you can hear. It's some sort like no outside, no inside. You can hear. Not here. I mean the phenomenon.
Aware.
Yeah, you aware, and then you can hear, not hear. Also cannot say here.
Yeah.
The phenomena appear.
Arises.
Here, there.
But so you
it's
have to
within,
be
within the like you circumstances. To, it's very wide.
You have to experience this thing in your meditation.
And then as you more relax, I don't know how to say it. Just relax. You know, it's this the attachment. You more and more relax. Let go. You can say let go lah. It's very relax.
It doesn't affect her.
Relax until. Not until like, when the phenomena appear to you. It's just like the life force to a point near to the heart. It's the place. It's just appearing, disappearing.
Yeah, aware, gone.
Only
aware, gone.
All
go inside that, but it's very special, and very bright. Very bright. The brightness to my understanding is the mind. It's the mind that which is no thought. It's very bright. And then you can see the appearing, disappearing. Mm. Even Brother Thor is giving, explaining, I just remain
aware. In
awareness, full awareness. Mm. And then when he speaking and explaining, inside here, every word he say that is appearing, disappearing.
He just absorbs the vibration. The vibration.
Yeah, it's a vibration, and it is very clear, 100% inside here.
Yeah, yeah.
As with normal people, when you open your eyes and listen, it's blur.
Yeah.
And inside here, every word he say with understanding. And brightness that is very bright. And then you just, that the heartbeat, not heartbeat, it's life force, is still there.
Yeah.
You know, the life force, very tiny life force. And then it's very, very when speak, just listening.
Mm.
Not here listening, here. Vibration.
Yeah, listen from the heart. Means aware from there.
Synchronize with the vibration.
Yeah. Awareness. The awareness is one with the thing that come in.
Mm. With understanding. Mm. Very clear and understand. And the more you listen, the more let go you are. Not let go. If you understand, it totally
quiet. You don't do anything.
Yes, very quiet. Yeah. And then for some time, then this one come out again. Come out. It's I don't know how to say it. It's energy or what is spread out to the mind here. And then you can feel the body again.
Mm, sadhu. Let us rejoice. I tell you, she is very shy for her to actually express
it. So don't listen from the ear. From the eyes.
It's already, you are very lucky.
From your...
Last time, every time I asked her to share, he don't want one. He sometimes warned me, no, don't. So you should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And now I will explain, because she has got a condition she gone through, I will explain to you what this is. Well, the first time she get this, she cannot put it in a word yet, but she knows it's very beautiful, she want to share. You remember when she heard the knocking sound? She was hearing it from the brain. You remember? Initially. Then she moved it down to the heart. This is the real hearing. The art of hearing. Hearing from your heart. So initially when you hear from your heart, where it's disconnected from your brain, it's like your hearing is not the normal hearing. Like bits and pieces. So initially I remember during the earlier, when I try to listen from the heart, I have awareness from here. Because the memory is not connected, a lot of things you hear, like, it's not the usual hearing. No. The usual hearing, because together with the word, with the memory, you hear, like, you understand very far. But later on, when you hear from the heart, like, the words are not really connected. No. Then sometimes you can understand something. Then I realize, no need to understand. Silent everything. This is like I told Song there. Sometimes you need to lie down. The body wants you to lie down. Listen from the heart. Means let the vibration go in. You think you didn't listen. You know who is listening. Who is listening? Your nature is listening. Your true mind is listening. This is food. This is Dhamma. This is what the nature wants. So it will go in. Even though you think you didn't listen. But when you re-listen to the recording, everything becomes very clear. So what is happening to her is, when she moved down to the heart, when she is aware, there is no word, no concept, nothing. It's just that phenomenon. Thong, chuk, sis, chuk, sis. Then remember, relax. She relaxed into it, it go deeper. Relax into it, it go deeper. Then the understanding is, it's like, is one with everything. There is no inside. no outside. It's just the spacious awareness that is aware. Then later on, when you do your daily mindfulness, it's the same. You just aware, aware, aware. Then sometimes aware, perceive, aware, perceive. When you do that, what happens? You can perceive. I can know it's Kathun. I can know it's Queenie. Understand? But my thought don't proliferate after that. Understand? I don't go and comment, wow, Kathun, why do they dress like that? Or why Kathun now different already? Wow, arrow flow, everything. Your thought will not proliferate like that. Unless I want to share something, then I describe. Understand? So otherwise, it's just aware, aware, aware. And it's follow your mind base. Follow your mind base. That's why last night, in the early day, remember I told you, when I maintain mindfulness, I return my awareness to my heart, my nature here. The heart by itself become aware. It make me aware. The awareness inside there keep on happening. So if you listen from here, it becomes different. Then for her, because she detected the gateway, my that last teacher also activated her, then she can go through all the pure energy, everything she can experience. That's why she got no bottleneck, no energy build up, nothing. Then there is a release. So she will just continue to relax and meditate. Then the other good thing that help her is because every time, most of the time, she is near me, understand not? Even sleep near. So the vibration, the consciousness, the awareness, the nature, actually she is the nearest, she received the most. That's why she transformed very fast. But she didn't want to say to you all. She every time tell me, don't ask her to speak. That's why, because she is typically quite shy. And she is not the one that is very, like, want to show off, want to tell people she know. She is low profile, understand? So I understand her. That's why I never force her. Then sometimes I just tease her. You can share already. She don't believe, no. She every time tell me one, no. I don't want to make the mistake, no. After I become the toad, no, for 500 life. You remember the toad, no? Huh? The Dhamma master, that toad was listening to the Dhamma talk for 500 lives, no, to the Zen master. Then the Zen master later knew, no, where he can see. This toad, in a previous life, the life before he became a toad, he has the parami, you know. He has very good skill and he very sincere. But he got one wrong view, you know. He taught people the just one little bit of wrong view, you know. And because of that, those people who listen and learn from him, get stuck, you know. And because of that, his karma, he has to go through, he take birth as a toad, you know. And as a toad, because of his sincerity, his vow, his aspiration, so he was born as a toad, in the way place of this Zen master who has the truth, you know. For 500 lives as a toad, he was listening to this Zen master. That's why he became enlightened after that. Not as a toad. The next rebirth. So she every time tell me, I don't want to end up like the toad. I say, you don't worry. You qualify yourself, understand? As far as my understanding is concerned now, I think this is what the Dhamma is. Nothing wrong. No coming obstruction. Yeah, you qualify, understand? Based on my understanding now, this is what I understand. Then I share with you. Nothing wrong. No coming at all. Understand? Yeah. Then what was I trying to explain earlier? My daughter one is that? No. That one was before. After that, I was trying to explain what my daughter say. Then you all tell me my wife want to share. Then I stop. Before I stop, what did I say? There is something related to the Dhamma. Cannot remember, never mind. Nobody can remember. There are two verses over already. After that, my daughter shared her... now I remember. My daughter shared the... She can recall after the thing, you remember? Recollect. Then she tell herself, why did I say all those things and all that? That is the first stage. Then she improve herself, correct herself. But later on, do you know what will happen? You don't have to let all these things come out. Later on, inside here, the wisdom, the understanding, the conscience, it will tell you. It will tell you. It will hint to you. That's why every time when I say something, it is either because the condition there, it may give rise to misunderstanding or what. Then this one inside will caution me, you know, like alert me, you know, better don't say. Understand? No use. People cannot understand, it may create misunderstanding. And then I will divert to something else. Yeah. So that part, I seldom share one, I told you. Yeah. But when you have this feeling, it's from the nature telling you or no. After you are very near enlightenment, it keeps on showing you a lot of things. Like karma, all those things. Any slightest lack of righteousness, straight away, boomerang. I told you before, that last time I played mahjong among my classmates. They all make sign and all those things. They want to cheat this fellow. One of the classmates, people don't like him. Then I say, cannot. Hey, they say, you must participate. Well, we discuss already. The three of us arrive first. Then later he come. Then we try to cheat him. All of us lost to him. I say, you cannot cheat one. Well, I cannot cheat one. So because of that, it happened. Then, because this guy, everybody don't really like him. Well, his character, he very like arrogant, axial. But he's a nice guy. And he later became a Christian also. So what happened was one day, we were playing mahjong. So I game two double in Liang Fan. Two double is 280, 560. Yeah, I was a chonker. So I supposed to collect, I'm not a chonker. 280, 560. Somebody else chonker. Then he also not chonker. He's supposed to pay me 280, and that's all. You know how much he paid me? 2,080. Because I very mindful, I very aware. I saw, I laugh inside. I said, Tai Lei Sei. But the moment my hand moved to the chip, before I sweep into the table, inside tell me, Lei Sei Gang. After that, my mahjong cut, I tell you, I never have such a bad cut. The worst of the worst, though. You all have seen that show or not, Lao Tak Wah? Yeah, the also mahjong one. He say, 他的好朋友来了，又来了. Because of his mistake, no, he go and don't know what he did. He scolded the wife or what? Then he lost his ability. Because he very very good at mahjong. Ho Hing Tai is there. All the Ho Hing Tai is the flower la, the fei la, all the nice card. No. Then the Ho Hing Tai every time come on us. Tai Sam Yin la, all the Kang Kang Wu la, or whatever. All the card very beautiful. Then somehow he make, don't know what type of mistake. His card become so horrible. So horrible until no turning around. But he was very patient. No. He keep on accepting that reality. Then finally, he managed to pull one good friend, Ho Hing Tai. Then he got confident, is it? Ho Hing Tai later. So one by one came, then he sweep. So mahjong, even play card. You heard of this, our traditional Chinese saying, Bai Wu Gui one. You heard of it? You haven't heard of it? Those gamblers will know. Because the card are very chair one. No? You know why very chair? No? In English call what? Alicia. Yeah, Guangdong. You are Cantonese. Hou chair in English is what? Actually English word limited. Our Chinese word very good. Hou chair. Yeah, very bad luck is quite near. But the thing is that chair means when the card comes, it keep on coming on. When the card won't come, it keep on not coming on. Actually, I start to understand from my childhood day, Why is like that? Because when I was young, I told you that every New Year with 2 ringgit, I will make a lot of money. End of the day, I can win 200-300 ringgit. Without fail, you know, every year after I from standard 1 onward. But there was 1 year, I think form 1 or form 2 or what, or form 3, I forgot. I try to misappropriate, I don't call steal. Because my father gave me 2 ringgit, all over get 2 ringgit only. Then my mother, he gave 12. No. Then I open up, I peep. Then I thought, I take 2 ringgit, my mother won't know. So I put the 10 ringgit, I pass to my mother. Because of that greed, that year, I lost everything. And very chair one. No. We all play pool. No. Everybody put 10 cent, 3 card, biggest take it there. So we got about 10 players. So every time from the 2 ringgit, I can win about 50, 60 ringgit. No. Then I go for poker. No. Sometimes I go mahjong first, then poker. No. Poker is where I make the 200-300 ringgit. So my willpower very strong. No. The card follow me. No. What card I want, it come on. Mahjong also, they scared of me. There is a, what they call, I forgot the term already. What is the term already? Ayo, what? I forgot the word already. The card I won, before I pull, I concentrate one. Then the card really come one. And I really strip one. So this classmate all know, you know what they did or not? They go and hurry me, you know. Quick. Cannot ulut like that one. Oh, go and hurry me, you know. Oh. Then every time, you game already, you don't want to game, no. You know what you do. You put on the fei, you know. You know what is fei, right? The joker. So you load fei, you know. It's like, it's a flower. You load fei, then you pull, and you game, no. Extra, how many double? No? So they all very scared now. Now I remember. You got to do it, tonight is the night. Because every time that song, so I say, Lord Faith. Wow, they panic, man, the moment I Lord Faith. Because that song, you got to do it, tonight is the night. I don't know what the song is also. And the card I pull, Hai Di Lao Ye also can get, the last card. And Yet Hong, game, sweep everything. The 13 A's also same, some you see. And you know what happened? When I stole the 2 ringgit from my mother, I tell you, the card was really horrible. Then I left with 30 cents, so I can play 3 more times. So I will it very strongly. I want to have 10 points, otherwise I cannot take the pool. And the 10 points really come, but that is to teach me a lesson. Somebody 3 picture, again lost. You see chair, no? Then second time, the second 10 cent go in. This time I aim 3 picture. I really got 3 picture. Somebody 3 per 10. You see chair or not chair? The last one worse. I got 3 per 3. Somebody 3 per 8. Got such thing. That's a very chair one. Karma. Really whack you. From that day onward, I dare not cheat anybody. Then my wife will know. Every time I go out, if I didn't speak the truth, I go and lie to my wife. Classmate gathering. We meet then. After that, we discuss something. Actually, play mahjong. I tell you, when I go with that type of liar, finish. Every game down. Then immediately I say, okay, stop. Our way is among classmates, the winner gives supper, so friendlier. But what happened was, if you are a loser, if you lose, you can sit down there and play for life. Understand? The winner has to go out. I am the exceptional one. The loser give up. You can take my place. The winner was so happy. Are you sure? I say sure. Yeah, I know my card horrible. Understand? It's coming. That's why I stop playing. Every time I do that, I stop playing. Until my classmate asked me, he come and fetch me. He said, "What you tell your wife today?" He asked me in the car. That's how you will see all this, because he will show it to you. Then something will happen. Sometimes the thought arises only backfire already. The conditions show it to you. So a lot of things about mindfulness, awareness, and the cultivation, you never hear before. That's why I used to tell Kailamita, you write a biography on my book, I tell you, it will be a bestseller. A lot of things people never understand. And the way I met my teacher and all those things, and the way things unfold, very, very difficult for normal people to understand. So hopefully I have answered your question. So this one clear. Okay? You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Continue. See. 1.4, page 116.
Okay. 1.4 question. How to overcome anger? Brother Teo replied, when there is anger arising, just be aware, don't think. Then silence your mind and sit back to relax. After a while, the agitation due to the stirring of your mind into anger via your heedlessness and delusion will slow down. Then suddenly it will become completely still. Then you will come to understand with joy clearly that if you don't react to stir the mind, then you are in your original natural state of mind, which is peaceful and calm before the stirring. The analogy of a pool of still water will help illustrate the point. If stirred by a falling branch or a stone thrown into it, the ripples will start to form. Wind and weather may also create waves, just like fear and anger appearing in the mind due to external stimulus. A mind that is heedful, wise, and constantly aware will not be stirred by any delusion. Hence, it will be very calm and peaceful always. As habitual tendencies developed over the years are difficult to eradicate or do away with, one will need to be heedful most of the time throughout their daily life to stabilize the wisdom to deal with the strong habitual negative tendencies. With the spiritual faculty of samadhi, an enlightenment factor of equanimity, then one will no longer be entangled. The mind that is transformed will not react anymore, and instead it will just flow and accord via wisdom. When you try to share and there is no condition, but then others want to argue and want to be right, then you will say, yes, you are right, and let them be right, because they don't understand duality as yet, so just let things be. One must ask the question, right according to whom, and why must one defend oneself? It is because of the ego, the self-delusion that conditions one's selfishness, emotional negativities and fear. Understand that things are just the way they are. No right, no wrong, via seeing things as they are. Grasping and clinging to sense experiences via delusion is the cause of suffering. Only wisdom liberates and frees nothing else. With wisdom, one will be able to understand and appreciate life more and more.
Yeah, very good. So if people want to argue or they want to be right, so you let them be right, understand? Then sometimes if they want to hear directly from you, yeah, you are right, you can agree. Did I lie? Did I lie? When I say yes, you are right. Did I lie? Let's say what he say is not the truth. Did I lie? He wants to be right. I say, yeah, you are right. Did I lie? the just now my daughter read. Right according to them. I never lie there. Yeah, you are right. Right according to you. Because you never ask me right according to who. Because not according to me. Right according to you. Because you want to be right. Then no more argument. Then he or she very happy. So? No, I'm not agreeing with them. Use the point. do you understand or not?
Correct.
When, wait. You ask your question first. Yeah.
I mean, ordinary talking, and then, no meaning, no losing. Yeah, actually, if we are solving an issue, and we are looking at that issue, of course we cannot agree just because we don't want to stir anything. For things to happen, of course there are times we are not using bad words.
Definitely. How can you use that?
Maybe we're not using harsh words. Of course, we need to agree to disagree, right? Sometimes we disagree. We say, no, I don't see
it from that. That one is society's way. Yeah? Understand or not? That is what you have as your view at the moment. You need to agree to disagree. Means you respect me, I respect you. Understand or not? Because we have to understand, you have your views, I have my view. So that is what human beings normally use. And the best is we have to agree to disagree. It means I accept your statement, you accept my statement, then we agree on the disagreement. Understand or not? But for this case, if there is no condition, means the Dhamma will not flow. It will lead to misunderstanding. It will lead to more karmic negativity. So how to avoid it? How to resolve it amicably? And the person who is arguing wants to hear from you direct that he is right. So? These are nothing to do with bosses, because this is a sharing. Understand? During the early days. No. During the early days. That's why I say it's not easy for people to come out and share. Since 2004, I have come out for 15 years. If I don't have this understanding, I tell you, a lot of problem already, understand? But you can go and ask around among Kayamita. I don't have a problem at all. Nobody come and confront me. Nobody come and challenge me, nothing. But before I start sharing at that place, got people question me. That's it. Then after that, resolve. Understand? But ever since I started sharing, I don't have a problem until today. Understand? So how I resolve it? I resolve it through understanding. I don't want to be right. Understand? So he said, do you agree that I am right? So how am I going to reply? I cannot say, I think right according to you, looking for trouble. Why you want to do that? If he wants to be right, let him be right. But what you are trying to tell me is, since it's an important truth, then if he were to think that I say he is right, then he will be affected by that thing, isn't it? Is that what you try to say? Means what I'm saying is correct. Means that truth, that he got it wrong, I have to tell him, isn't it? That is what you believe, isn't it? Otherwise, it will affect him. True or not? You mean the others who listen?
So normally when we at workplace, the problem is not the person and
so what will you do to the boss?
No, of course we explain nicely that this is
the boss refused to listen.
Again, informed consent. So this is again this is the fact. This is what I'm saying. This is how you see.
Okay.
So if this happens, this will happen.
Okay.
So if she's
Do you think your boss will be happy with your suggestion?
But again, is I don't care how she thinks or not. My job is done. It is informed.
Okay.
If I've given you all the facts and figures, you still make the decision, and it happens.
Then I get PG. Where is PG?
Let me finish first. Then if it happens, then she has to take responsibility, She cannot turn around and say, "Hey, you didn't inform me," versus re-inform,
So
these days we have all our email, black and white, all written. Luckily, we have good English.
Understood. Where is Polian, not PG? Polian, come. You explain to her what you tell me in the car. Your boss one. Your boss one. You remember that day you tell me in the car?
About which one, which aspect?
You remember that day when I think LC or PG was driving the car. Then you tell me, your boss, present the thing until very, very nice, very, very nice. And try to, because he said the boss don't know how to do, do until, then she rearrange everything. Can remember that? Then your suggestion very good. Now she will tell you. Then you listen, get home, then you find the answer. The boss is like that one. You ask her to relate. How the boss tells her off.
It's our legal fees. We got quotation from three lawyers. So when the lawyer give the quotation, they give high court lah, session court lah, what court lah, this way lah, individual lah, company lah. So it's very complex. And we have to compare the quotation among three lawyers. One lawyer give you 100 figures, three lawyer 300 figures. So I do my work on without presenting the table, I just calculate. Then later on, my boss want to justify my work. She go and use her own Excel, key in. And then every time I use manually calculate, until one time I fed up, I say, I calculate like that also very difficult, because she asked me, prove to me. So there's one time she was on holiday 10 days, so I take a lot of time, go and do until one screen,
spreadsheet,
paper, you can see everything. I dare not to present, because I know this work is better than her. And when she's back, I was opening this sheet, then she passed by my place.
She saw.
I call in front of my computer, this screen, meaning she always monitor my work one.
Yeah.
I cannot make personal call. So she come right in front of my computer, what screen is this? So I simply say, something like that. So next time, when I use the one to prove my work already, I said, to present this one or use. Then I use her method, her Excel. She passed me her Excel. After I finish this one nicely, she come back from holiday. She give me this Excel. You follow this one, key in for me, then I can see from there. I said, before you go holiday, you never give me this. Then I do until very detailed, very nice one. You can one look, see all the three lawyers. She give me her one spreadsheet, one lawyer.
All not shown on the same spreadsheet.
I also don't know how to. Then when I want to show her one case, I go and key in her way. I also key in my way. I compare. So when I want to show her, I show her her way, her one.
Rule number one. Rule number two, whenever the boss is wrong, check rule number one. So, that's why she went through. It's not to say nothing changed. All boss... Wait. All bosses are like that. That's why you're different. You can throw your job. Use the mic.
And you still follow her simply because the boss is always right.
No,
I'm not presenting to you logically. These are the facts and figures. I'm not saying that you are wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. These are the figures. These are the things that you read. Understand what?
Okay.
So you still want to make the decision.
Okay.
Well, you are the boss. Your head is on the chopper board, not mine. But the fact is, when things go wrong, then you cannot point fingers.
Let Polian tell you something.
Brother Teo, I actually in her position.
Yeah.
Because I remember there's one time some decision. She cut young one. So I tell her cannot. Then you guide me in the car and say, Dear boss. This is my decision. And then you say,
Right speech.
I say that, this is the decision. My advice is like this. If you want to make this decision,
please go ahead.
Then you ask me to send the email to her. And then I keep a copy. Bro, this one cannot do.
Because of your fear. So?
Cannot.
18th floor of hell.
Cannot.
So?
I cannot.
Get hood? You want to go down to 18 Spartan D?
I give you an example of what I did. So I got this student who came to me. So this is a Malay student who is under Panaraju scholarship. So she failed one semester. So under the Panaraju means you're poor.
The
student is poor. But our fees is 28,000 per semester.
Per semester, not per year.
Not per year, per semester. One year is two semesters.
That is not cheap.
But her father only earned 1,000 ringgit in, you know,
so?
Per month.
So?
So I am the counselor. I'm listening to her story.
Oh, okay.
So now, send 6 over this, 7, 8 no money.
Oh, okay.
So actually in counseling, we're just listening. They say, full stop.
Oh.
We don't do anything. We cannot solve the problem. But I took her case and I went up, I lobbied her case right until to the top lah.
Oh, very good, sadhu.
Of course, I got scolding lah. He said, your father's company. So I always tell my boss, my bigger boss, it's just one student, right? If you stop here at SEM 6, her life is not fully made, you know.
Oh, you have a point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is one student?
Yeah.
You have so many, man. After they lock her in as scholarship, of course, I got scolded. I talk stupid things, I got scolded all that. Okay. But the thing is, I lobby all the way up to the top.
Yeah.
So along the way, I lobby. Of course, I offended people. And offended my boss.
Oh, okay.
So she asked me, why are you so kepo? You know, the word is.
Oh, okay.
You should be a social worker and not a counselor. A counselor don't solve people's problems.
Oh, shit. Oh,
wow. So she told me, she's
teaching you how to do your work.
No, not really. She's telling me, it is not your work. It's not your scope of work. And you don't have to do that. If you're going to do that, you might as well quit the job as a counselor.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What she say, is it correct or true or not for your profession?
Of course, in counseling, but she is, I won't say she's wrong. The description of work is not in my line of job.
Yeah, you are not supposed to lobby all these things. You're supposed to...
Correct, but I said I'm in the university. I'm not working in the open marketplace.
Oh,
husband
okay.
And wife fighting.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Garrett, more experience.
I was in MBA days.
Yes.
Okay. So, Taylor College, the care.
Yes.
Okay. So, you must look at which way you are in. Okay. I look at the figure only. Okay, I'm at that level. Here, if you turn out 30 million cash to me, very happy. Okay, but when I talk to the counselor there, the headmaster there, sorry, cannot talk like that. You see? So, they are very care about the children, they are very care about the, what you call the student, all this, all that.
Yeah.
So, you have to learn a little bit of human. So many humans, they are different. Bosses, what they like. They like to present to the board of directors. Figures
good,
are there.
Good figures.
Okay? You are at the level because you are in touch of the children. Okay? You like to look at the welfare. When we are up there, we don't give a damn. You see? We want the school to be in good name.
Yeah.
Right? Make sure I get the... I will talk to the headmaster how much you want. You better run the school, okay? The population, the student are increased and have a good name. Yeah. That's all.
Correct. Is it? Correct. That's very good. So careful, you can learn something.
No, I don't. Fortunately, you don't, sorry. Fortunately, you don't have this kind of mindset. I lobby all the way and things happen.
No. Wait.
Let me finish. It's no longer about the... First, you are a businessman, you look at the figure, but this is somebody's life. So the bosses listen.
Okay.
And therefore, they lobbied, and we took the case up, and then the Kwok Foundation came in.
Yeah. The Robert
Kwok Foundation came in.
Robert Kwok,
Yes.
Tan Sri Robert Kwok.
So, let's say, at the end of the day...
Solve your problem.
Not my problem. Solve the girl's problem.
Yeah lah.
So the girl
which is what you lobby for lah.
Right, but the
so indirectly is something related to what you want to resolve lah. So it's your problem.
Not so much of what I want, but then I see the girl transforming ma.
Yeah.
And I see the girl.
So that is your conscience telling you that she deserves a scholarship.
But that is the fact.
That's why you help her to lobby.
But the fact remains is we change somebody's life and this. And this girl's life will be forever changed.
Correct. Wait, I finish this one first, then you add. Jared. What you are not listening to is what Jared say. He's not saying you right or wrong. He want to... Wait. You don't know. Before I answer, you say you know. Listen first. First, what did he say? At your level, you are not thinking like your boss. Your boss answer to the boss, he want to show good figure. Understand not? Then to him, he cannot simply approve a scholarship unless the student has straight A's and all things, that has a proper reason. Just because you are poor, the college normally don't do that. So you can have what you want. Understand? But what you didn't hear is the boss think differently. And he used the word very direct now. They up there don't care a damn about how you think. It's not I am you. Wait, we are not arguing.
You have not listened to the second part.
You didn't listen. No, because you still want to be right. No problem, you are right. No. Wait, what is important is you have to understand. You managed to lobby and finally resolve it because Tan Sri Robert Kwok came in. If Tan Sri Robert Kwok never come in, your problem not resolved, then you are willing to go through the... Okay. Now you are telling the other part. What you believe to be. You believe if you have not lobbied, Tan Sri Robert Kwok will not come in. Means all these conditions will not happen, then he will not be what he is. Are you trying to tell us that? But you are not listening. That is your view. All along you are expressing your view. All along you are expressing what you want to tell us. Because you believe you are right. I'm not saying you wrong or you right. That is your personal choice. If you want to lobby for the girl, that is to me very good. Because you care for her. She deserves the scholarship. But what Garrett is telling you is, you have to understand, you are you at your level. You may have your ambition. You may have an ideal that you want to push. But the boss thinks differently. He just wants you to understand that. And society is like that. Like PG's case, understand or not? I teach her the Dhamma way to resolve it. She dare not even write the email. He said, you write, you go 18 stories down. Means she is going to lose her job and she is going to have a lot of problems.
If you work with so much fear, then nothing will
change.
That
is another part. Kehun, that is your... I won't say view, your understanding. That is what you are, your character. That's why you are not listening in the sense that because you want to push that point. And now Garrett can explain to you further.
I give you another story, okay? So during the times I have a CEO in Australia, Papua New Guinea, okay? So every year we do have budget, okay? So every year, every 3 months, we do have a brainstorming, all this, all that. First quarter, the CEO come back. He sell slipper. He said, Papua New Guinea, no people wear slipper. Right? So, first quarter, achieve.
Okay, target
achieve.
Very
good. Second quarter, achieve.
Wow, very good.
Third quarter, achieve. Fourth quarter, he never turned up for the meeting. So he was bluffing all the way. You see how the management taught people playing their game.
Yeah.
They even have to cheat, even have to tell lie in order to maintain their status there.
Yeah.
Right? So nothing wrong like me, I'm facing a lot of Buddhists.
Yeah.
So a lot of so called Buddhists.
Yeah.
Okay? Even Wosiong, you think they must be good people. Okay, helping people. But I think you will be very upset.
Yeah.
No, it's not like that, the real world.
The real world is different.
Just do your part.
Yeah. Sadhu. Okay. Let's rejoice with all the people who contributed to this discussion. Sadhu. We also recognize your contribution, Kehun, don't worry. No, it's not your suffering or what. It's, we try to... No, we try to discuss.
The negativity of thought, all the thoughts, right, is hurting yourself. That means you don't love yourself.
Ah.
At her level, as a student, there's no way she can lobby her kids.
Okay, why not I put it in a very nice way? You didn't manage to resolve it amicably. You are not that sensitive. What Jared want you to learn is, society is not what your ideal tell you, understand or not? Society is different. You have to flow and accord. So when you do that, your way of behavior change. Because if you don't have that ability to be aware, then you will continue this direction of views and opinion, and you will continue to do the thing like that, which is nothing wrong, because it's your life, you decide. But what you can do is, if people have certain suggestion and point out to you, you can just give it an open mind and reflect whether what he say makes sense or not, can improve your life or not. You understand? That is what we are driving on at. We are not saying you are right or wrong. We are not trying to say you cannot do the... No, your life, you decide. Whatever you do is no problem, and I accept that. But what we want you to learn is the Dhamma. The Dhamma is whatever you can receive that can help you, use it. Cannot go back, reflect on what he say and what I say, then just have an open mind and leave it. Then go your way, no problem. Yeah, that is your life. Understand? Ah, thank you. So we all thank you too. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu. Because we need people like you, eh? Who can give various type of views and opinion. Then we can have a real discussion. Otherwise, everybody is scared of Brother Theo. Then how to discuss? Yeah. Correct. That's why I like the way you actually go at it. It gives us the condition to explain the Dhamma. What is the Dhamma? It's not about right and wrong. It's about how we can learn from people, learn from their understanding, their idea. What I like about Garrett is he's very experienced. He's very exposed to society, especially. Well, he did a lot of this type of activity and work. And his career, I can tell you, you can ask him. He has been very, very successful before. And he has also been hit by crisis before. Later on, maybe you want more, talk to him personally. There's a lot of story from him. Yeah. Yes. That is what you treasure, understand? But what we are trying to discuss here is how can you improve on what you already have as a counselor, understand? Well, you are here to have an open mind to receive feedback, idea. For me, it's very good feedback. Well, I start to know more things about I am you. Not I am you. And I got a cousin. I got a brother whose sister is in IMU. IMU. Okay, never mind. What's the time already? Oh, 5 o'clock, still got half an hour. Anyway, thank you for creating the condition. So we would like to thank everybody who has contributed, including my wife. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we go on. How did we end up there? I cannot remember. Oh, never mind. Anyway, this is a good way to resolve matter, to develop understanding. Then we can learn. It's about learning. And the learning is, like I say, wisdom is unending. Because life is evolving, never the same. Then when you can learn, you can resolve things amicably, means you really have wisdom. But if we insist on our way, which is not going to create the amicable solution, then you will start to experience in life that there is a lot of repercussion. And when you are hit by repercussion, then there is the time when you need to make that choice. That's why whenever there is choice, there is confusion. Well, why must you choose? If you don't want to choose, means you accord and flow. Like Gary said, the real life in society is different. Condition like that, things be like that. So, for your case, which is what Kat Hun did, is based on what he understands and based on what she feel, which is very good. And this is the phase she will be in. She will go through that. Yeah. Then what will happen is a learning curve for her. Because when you have the ability to resolve things amicably, then everything becomes smooth sailing. So now what I can see from what she did was, instead of bringing the problem all the way up to the big boss, then get firing and all things, then finally they go to Robert Kwok and ask for the help, then Robert Kwok solved the problem. So what she can do is, at the level when the parent of the girl who earned 1,000 ringgit come, then you have to tell her, the university policy is like that. You need to get outside assistance. If you want us to help, we can help you to write to all these organizations. There is a better solution.
I got closer to the boss, and I suggested methods moving forward on what the university could do. So with that, we came up with the alumni, and we say, why don't we put aside some alumni money using the alumni to help their students?
Did they agree?
Yes. But of course, the scolding went on, but this is a good scolding. So it's not so good. But then, it means... Not my immediate girl boss. I mean, all the big bosses, go a day. You also learn something. Then say, what if it comes something that we can contribute on long
So the alumni fund was it formed?
Yes.
Oh, very good. That's why, because of what you did, it created the condition.
Correct. So we also lobby for food. So I went down.
So did the alumni money go to that girl?
No, it didn't.
Oh, it didn't.
But if we start a fund that moving forward, if we have students
with similar condition.
Yes, we may not be so lucky to get Kwok Foundation, but this money will go back to help those future students like
that one we should sadu you.
Correct.
You did a good job.
Not say sadu, but then the thing is that this is not for personal glory. My
Correct. It's for the welfare of the many later on coming on.
Right, but some students halfway through, their parents go through financial issues.
Correct.
Or the parents die, but then they're halfway through, and the fees is so high. So when we hear the problem, I just told my immediate boss, are we supposed to listen and don't do anything? Mm. Of course, I listen and don't do anything. No.
Did I tell you about the Ames medical student that I helped to raise fund and clear on? Huh? I didn't tell you. Oh, at the house Dana. There is a medical student, Ames. He was doing medicine in Sungai Petani. Penang guy. The father died, the mother, very low salary, washing clothes, trying to keep him afloat. Then he gave tuition. Somehow he managed to get a medical course at Ames. So after he get the medical course, he did a lot of odd jobs. Then he applied to higher education loan, everything rejected. So he managed to only pay the first semester entrance fee. Not the whole fee, To go into U admission, you had to pay a certain amount, the first time you go in. So he managed to have enough money to pay for that. Then when the university wrote to him to pay up the fee, because near exam ready, you know what happened or not? He got no money. And the university keep on giving him chance. Because like medical, every now and then got tests on. But when it come to final exam, they give him ultimatum. He said, you don't have the fee, you cannot take the exam. So he was desperate. Then he wrote to every organization. Somehow he wrote to WAVE, the Buddhist Society. Then WAVE Forward, Burly Forward to me. Then I saw. Then I feel that I can help. Understand? So I call up the university to check whether there is such a student or not. Authentify it. Then I realize there is such a student. Then I, through Burly, I got his contact. I call him up. I say, is your case genuine? I need you to confirm whether it's the truth or not. He said, Mr. Teo, yes, genuine. Then I said, okay, I can help you to raise the 50,000. Yeah, the fee was about 50,000. Yeah, that 4 years or 5 years, 250,000. It's big sum of money. So I managed to finally raise a total of 59,000. Then his balance of fees was, I think, 30,000 or 40,000, I think. So I got a balance of 15,000. I said, this one will keep you afloat until second year. Second year, they give you ultimatum. This surplus of 15 over 1,000, I will pay to the university direct. So I asked my brother to go with him. This money will not go to you direct, I said. My brother will go and pay for you. Then I call up the dean. I talk to the dean. The dean told me, yes, there is such a student. Then I told the dean, you help me to clear with the university. Because 2 more weeks is the exam ready. He really panicked, the student. I said, I will undertake to raise the money. Otherwise, I pay from my own pocket. You allow him to take the exam first. But surprisingly, I got the money before the 2 weeks is up. Because very far, when I emailed out, a lot of support came in. I remember I donated 10,000, Sam donated 10,000, my brother donated 10, from the rest, from Kayamita and all those things. That time you were not around. So the money came. Then I straight away told my brother, you go to the university and this guy will wait for you, take you to the dean office. I said, I want the black and white from the dean. So the dean managed to get from the vice chancellor office. I think it go through the senate and all. With the letter, I tell the student, your exam, you can go and take. I give the undertaking also. So because of that, it was clear. He was full of gratitude. What I'm trying to tell you is, I resolve it without creating problem for the university and so on. If I were to, like you, start to write, hey, this fellow very poor, this is a genuine case, he apply higher education because the loan is too much, they cannot get, they are not going to listen and so on. That is the ultimatum. So I have to resolve it. And I have to have the understanding that I am capable of resolving it. That's why I was confident. And I resolved it this way. So this is a very good example. Then after the second year, he managed to get grant, 5,000 a year from the medical, I think, association. Then from the Penang state government. Then another 5,000, don't know from where. So 1 year, he got only 15,000. So the third year, he shot 30,000. You understand or not? You know what I told him or not? Well, he wrote to me again. No? He depend on me again. No? I say, sorry. What I did for you is, because got affinity, got condition, is for you to float. Understand or not? Once you float, you have to diligently work towards the balance. I say, I cannot forever support you like that. Well, this is donor's money, not some funds available. Then he panicked, you know. He tried very hard, no. So finally, he was also very lucky. MIC stepped in. MIC somehow gave him a loan, or don't know what, 30,000. So third year, Kautim. Fourth year, Kautim. Then final year, no. Final year, he tried very hard. Higher education loan, still don't want to give him the loan. Then he wrote to me. I say, okay, final year, I do for you. Because he is a very good boy. He report to me every semester. Until I know, it's like I got a son studying medicine. No? Every semester, he tell me his subject, his grade, and all of that, how the lecturer, all. That's why I came to know all this. Then after that, the final year, because final year already, I say, okay, final year, I raise for you. The moment I put in my university classmates, WhatsApp, well, that time, the first time I didn't put, I go for Kalimita, close friend. The second time I put university classmate, well, they got money. Very fast, the donation came in. I got 20,000 within half a day. Then somebody text, one of the successful guy, chemical engineer. He said, I will pay for the whole thing. He underwrite the whole thing. Then I call him out. I said, no need. You underwrite the balance. So he underwrite the balance. So I said, all this contribution closed. We have more than enough fund. That's how she was very grateful. Graduated. That's how you can help. What I'm trying to share with you is there are many ways to do it. There are normally conditions. Then with the condition, then you do what you can do. Then it will be resolved amicably. the boy is happy, the family is happy, the university is happy. Understand? That is what you mean by resolve the issue amicably. So this is something, maybe food for thought, so that you can later on successfully help people. What you did, the outcome is good, because the alumni came out with a fund that is very good, really. So with that, we continue. You don't know how to rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why sometimes that type of good seed also don't know how to plant. Okay, continue. Where is Sui?
So I'm taking over for a while.
You read. Very good. Yeah.
So it's part 3, meditation.
Yeah, yeah.
3.1, question 1.
Yeah.
During meditation, I heard and perceived the branches of the tree, and I returned to Anapanasati, but then the thoughts regarding the falling branches arise. May I have your comments?
This one very good. Listen to the answer.
So this is, Brother Teo, I replied, this is what you are supposed to see in your meditation, because there is this subtle grasping going on within the mind. Meditation is to uncover all these unhealthy delusion and unwholesome subtle attachments to what we perceive with every moment of our conscious sense experiences via our trained mind in heedfulness or silent inner awareness to understand what is going on in your own form and mind. How we are conditioned into thinking and reaction of mind, likes and dislikes, via our own self-delusion or sakkaya ditti. Why do these thoughts arise and not other thoughts? And we also see clearly how we are conditioned into grasping and clinging, leading to suffering caused by our own self-delusion, selfishness and emotional negativities, the three evil roots which are the roots of all evil. In this particular case, there is this curiosity of mind due to ignorance that conditions your grasping on what you perceive earlier, which is the falling branches. This is our attachment to one of our 5 aggregates of form and mind, and in this case, it is the perception aggregate. So the first of the dependent origination link of avijja, paccaya, sankara, or dependent on ignorance, sankara, which is mental activities, comes to be. Hence, the thought or thinking about the falling branches. This is witnessing how your mind functions by all this heedfulness training. You will also witness all of the Buddha's teaching, like the 4 Noble Truths and the 12 Links, etc., in your own life experiences via your daily mindfulness to understand who you are and what you are, including how you function as a human being. On the sense door consciousness...
No, how the sense door.
How the sense door consciousness and the stirring of the mind come to be, etc., so as to develop the requisite wisdom and understanding leading to the subsequent awakening via insight into the 3 characteristics of nature, of natures of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, especially the anatta universal characteristics.
Yeah, so this is very clear. That's why when you are meditating, you're supposed to be aware, to witness all this, to understand, then to awaken to the 3 universal characteristics. Not to go and attach to what you see, what you perceive, and all those things. That's why the question is, he said, you read the question again. During meditation, I heard and perceived the branches of the tree, and I returned to Anapanasati. But then the thought regarding the falling branch arise. It's very easy to understand it. He's supposed to meditate, be aware, like my wife, aware, finish. Understand or not? But her one didn't finish. What she do? When she perceived that branches falling, the concept of the branches falling, everything went in already, is from the thought. Understand or not? Then he remember what I say, or the 6 R say, go back to the object of meditation, distraction, release, then return. to do anapanasati. So after she do anapanasati, do you think it's anapanasati? Yeah? What happened when he returned to do anapanasati? He said the thought regarding the falling branches arise. Means you are not doing anapanasati. Understand? You recall through memory, you cling onto that perception. Understand? Then instead of investigating further, he asked me, may I have your command? See? It's like that, you won't learn. Understand? You learn means you investigate. How come I do anapanasati instead of in anapanasati, the perception come? It's not the perception, the thought of that perception come. You understand? Because there is dependent origination. Paticca samuppada. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Because you do not understand, you don't know, you want to know. What do? You go and think. That's why the thought come. You understand? That is where she went wrong. But meditation is not about right and wrong. Meditation is about when you don't understand, continue to investigate. Do you see the point? As long as you know what is meditation, like what Brother Danny asked, then you question or inquire inside. Am I training my mind to be mindful? Instead of asking why that thought come, you're supposed to go back to Anapanasati and train your mind to be aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Why are you not doing that? Because you are curious. You understand? That's where that person, okay, who asked that question, didn't understand what she is doing in the name of meditation. So when you understand, the focus is very clear. Am I training my mind to be mindful or aware? The fourth step or the first three steps. Then after I have done, am I able to stabilize it? So anapanasati is to stabilize it. So you're supposed to do what? You're supposed to relax into it and go through the experience of piti, sukha, then finally hit pasati, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind. Then only your mind enters sati. That is what you're supposed to be doing. Understand not? Not asking me why the thought arise. Can I have your comment? But at that time, okay, because people are new, understand not? So I have to answer. You understand? So now, I am telling you this is because you have the ability to understand. So hopefully this type of question are for people who are new, understand not? Like Danny's case, he wants to know the difference between heedfulness, awareness, and mindfulness, which is a very good question. It's new. Then when he asks, I can explain. Yeah. But if you all, after so long, still cannot understand, don't be shy. Ask. Understand? Brad Teo is not going to scold you. But sometimes I point out what you're supposed to do. Don't take it as what word to use? Don't take it personal. Understand not? Because we are here to share understanding. Sometimes we make mistakes. When I was young, in the early days, I also make mistakes. Before I understand, I also go through the process. Sometimes I ask stupid questions also. But this life, luckily, so far, until now, I never ask stupid questions. When I ask, it's very serious question. And I seldom ask questions. I don't know why. I just listen. And I learn very fast. I seldom ask questions. I ask means very serious question, and very deep question. Yeah. So this is how my nature is. That's why it's different. But for you all, I realize not everybody like me. Because after 1989, I thought everybody was like me. That's why I thought you all need the Dhamma. So I straight away go and teach the Dhamma. That's why that book, since 2005 printed, they did the transcript. Actually, the sharing was in 2004. So they did the transcript, 2005 come out. 14 years later, that time I was already teaching the five degree of form and mind, to see form, the unreality of form, see beyond form, then see mind, unreality of mind, see beyond mind, then realize the unconditioned, everything is inside there. But it was ahead of time. So, way, way ahead of time. So because of that, the nature understand that you all are different. We are not everybody have their past. Some learn slow. Some learn fast. So everyone is different. That's why the nature will understand. Then you are allowed to ask, please, don't get me wrong. Or don't misunderstand what I say. Then after that, they're not ask. Because I so long with Brother Tio already. Please, don't. If you still don't understand, please, by all means, like Danny, ask the question. Then I can explain. Otherwise, everybody assume you know, very dangerous. That's why that APG share, we get the condition to understand many things. Then my daughter share, we get the condition to understand many things. Then Li Hun share, we got condition to understand many things. Then Garrett ask the right question, we got condition to learn many things. Then Kat Hun also, with her participation, the inquiry, the question, and the, what they call, the way she actually present the argument is very good. Because that is unique to her. And we have a different character and a different Kayamita who can contribute in her own unique way. You understand? This is what condition is all about. Then we learn. Actually, the whole thing is about the collective participant. If any of one is not here, the retreat will not what it is today. You agree or not? Everyone play a role, even insignificant. Without you, that condition, this moment will not be what it is. You understand? This moment requires the contribution of each and every living beings within this vicinity. Do you understand? Then without Sifu Teng Siong, without the kitchen staff also, we won't be having this type of condition. Then without the question, without the participation of all these people, that's why you must have gratitude and rejoice. Then my wife rarely share, also start to share, you should rejoice more. So all this will develop gratitude. Not on the whiteboard already. Oh, the seed, plant the good seed. What time already? Oh, 4 more minutes. Very good. Kehun, thank you. So this part finished there. So chapter 35, 36. Okay, we go for... only some go for dinner, is it? Not everyone, is it? How many go for dinner? Or half, then go for dinner. Then the rest can have your miso soup. Today got miso soup, still have, So actually we all very blessed, Hey, rejoice lah. Okay, yeah.